again at Galatians 4. We'll go back to Galatians 3, Lord willing, next Sunday. And I'm going to read from the message of Galatians 4, which was just read. And this is a paraphrase. And it says, "Let me show you the implications of this. As long as the heir is a minor, he has no advantage over the slave. Though legally he owns the entire inheritance, he is subject to tutors and administrators until whatever date the father has set for emancipation. That is the way it is with us. When we were minors, we were just like slaves, ordered around by simple instructions, the tutors and administrators of this world, with no say in the conduct of our own lives. But when the time arrived and was here that was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. This we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as His own children, because God sent the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying out, 'Papa, Father.' Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. And this is the word of our Lord." And we are so thankful to God for His word, aren't we? Imagine where we'd be, like a ship without an anchor, without a rudder, without direction, like a car without a steering wheel, if we didn't have the word to guide us, right? And you think of so many lost people that have no sense of direction. And what's scary, is that there are so many young people that aren't being taught the Word of God, and we see them all the time where I work, and it's very sad. And so we pray that God would continue to keep us in His Word, in His grace, and not just us, but our children and grandchildren, that we leave a legacy of faith, not religion, but of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so let's look at this Galatians 4. He says, "What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different than a slave, although he owns the whole estate." Well, kids, it's probably a good thing that there are so many rules and regulations. Kids can't just come and say, "All right, I'm a trust fund baby. Give me the money. Give me the money. Show me the money," right? It's kind of sad. When I lived in Scottsdale, there were quite a few trust fund babies there. And it was interesting how they lived. And sort of a sense of entitlement, to say it plainly, spoiled brats, you know. And then there are others where they weren't allowed to even talk about it. They couldn't even build their lives on that money that was for future savings, and they were to have a career and make something of their lives. The sad thing is that working as a family support partner with different families and working with guardianship and conservatorship and all this kind of stuff, is that many parents, more and more parents, are taking advantage of their kids and their money, and to the point where sometimes the court is not so much worried about the child getting its hands on the money, but the parents using it for themselves. You would be shocked to know how often that happens. And so the court has to have really all both eyes wide open to both sides to make sure that it is adhered to, the whole thing of the trustee and all that, and to make sure they're faithful. But here, Paul is saying, those who were in the Old Testament, those who were there before Christ came on the scene, were under the guise of being like a slave. They were like under the law, and didn't have Jesus there, didn't know the Holy Spirit, or feel the Holy Spirit inside of them, right? Because that happened after Pentecost, remember? The Holy Spirit would come upon people from time to time, but He wouldn't be in them like He's in with us. And many times the worship would be sometimes rather stilted, unless somebody like David. When David was on the throne, it was passionate worship. But it was a heart relationship that we have now that wasn't there as much. The people in the Old Testament were saved by looking to the Savior who was to come. We are saved as we look to the Savior who came. Who came on Christmas, who came to suffer and die and rise again from the dead and ascended to heaven and has come again one day to judge the living and the dead. Amen. So, we, in a sense, before Christ came, were like under the law. We were like slaves. But that's not where it stops today, because the sermon title talks about that we go from a slave to a child to an heir, and we're from slaves to sons. So we are not slaves anymore. But a lot of times we live like that. People trying to get their card punched. Go to church, well, God will love me more if I go to church. Or I have to go to church. I have to bring my kids to children's church. I have to go to the fundamentals class. I have to do this. I have to do that. No. God doesn't want us to come if that's why we're coming, right? We should say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There's a joy, right? Donna, we talk about that all the time in our Bible class, right? The joy in this church, the joy in the fellowship. We live like heirs and children, not like slaves. Well, is it okay if I raise my hands in worship? Will I get in trouble? Is it okay if I laugh or tell a joke? Yes, that's okay, as long as it's clean. So we live as children of God, and we're set free, and we'll talk about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But first of all, in the past, they were slaves. The next verse, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. It talks about being underage. When's the last time you were carded? It's been a little... Really? Well, brag about it, why don't you? You just... that can be a kind of a funny experience, right? It's been many decades since I've been carded, but looking back and remembering that, it's been like, oh, thank you, yeah, here's my ID, sure. But here we're talking about a different type of underage, of course. And he says, but when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. So before Christ came, the law was set by Moses, right, coming down with the tablets of stone from Mount Sinai. There had to be some rules and regulations and curbs to sin, otherwise everything would go crazy, right? So God set the law down. He had the Old Testament people go through all the sacrifices, all the rituals, all the obligations, which all pointed to Jesus. And one of the most fascinating Bible studies is going through the Old Testament and seeing Jesus Christ all over the place in the Old Testament and seeing that all the rules and all the regulations and all the sacrifices were just a shadow of the light to come, which is Jesus, who is the light of the world. So when Jesus came, all that was fulfilled, right? But a lot of people, a lot of the Jewish people at that time, did not see it that way. They thought it was a false religion. And of course, Paul, who was Saul at that time, set out to kill Christians because he thought that they were against God. And then the light came on. He said, oh no, they are on God's side, and I'm not. I want to get on God's side through Jesus Christ, and he's the one that brings us together. He is the mediator that brings people together, right? Who brings it? It's like we're all over here as sinners, and God's way over there as the totally holy, perfect God. And we can say, well, I'm trying to be good, and we go this far and we fall down the canyon. Someone else says, well, I can be better than that. I'm going to go to church, I'm going to go to CR, I'm going to go to Bible study. Look at me, I give money to the church, and they go farther, but they still fall short. Someone says, well, I'm going to go to seminary, be a reverend doctor. Well, boy, this would get me far in life. Not really. But it comes all the way to the edge of the canyon and falls short. Does it matter how far all those went? No, the Bible says all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us fall short. But the good news, and we talk about this at the jail a lot, is there's a bridge that goes all the way across, nonstop, and that cross and that bridge is in the shape of a cross, and it's Jesus. And he is the freeway. There's no toll road, no price. He paid the price of his blood, and that bridge is available for every single person who wants to know Jesus, who wants to have real life, real fulfillment, real peace, right? And that's the good news. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But before that bridge was set out, there were centuries of planning and preparation of God sending one prophet after another one, after another one, after another one to get people ready. And then there was a dark period of time, about 400 years from the last prophet, till John the Baptist came, and he came on the scene with a message of repentance and baptism, right? And then he baptized Jesus, and then the heavens were torn open, and the Spirit of God came down the dove, right? And the Father said with a voice, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Focus on him. And then John the Baptist said, I must decrease. He must increase. Jesus must. Is Jesus the one that's increased in your life? Is it all about him? Sometimes we fall away. We get caught up in our own lives, our own schedules, right? So the good news is that we're no longer slaves. But you think of what it means to be a slave nowadays. Slaves to all kinds of stuff. What are some of the things that people become enslaved to? Money, drugs, job, technology. Yeah. Oh boy, yeah. All kinds of stuff we can get entrapped in. Even our families, if they become more important than God. Anything that becomes more important than God becomes an idol in our lives, right? And we become enslaved to that. And what does the devil say? Oh, you'll be free. If you do this or you do that, you'll be happy. And that lie, and there goes my mic again. Is it back on now? Okay. Figure this mic out. Anyway, and I think I got a new battery in it. By the way, I almost had a scary thing with my car because I didn't realize that with these newfangled technology with the new keys, that you have to have that battery replaced on a regular basis. And if this doesn't, if that battery goes dead, and they warned me about it, it can be bad things. And fortunately, the dealership was closed over the weekend. I couldn't go to the service department. It was too late last night, so I went to O'Reilly's. And fortunately, they had this battery. I thought, well, that'd be real great for this Sunday of all Sundays for me to not show up because my car won't start. So, but there's a key in here. Apparently, you can open up, but I don't know how to use that key because I can't find a keyhole in these modern cars. So, you show me later. Okay, all right. The point is, you got to have the key, but you got to know how to use the key. Otherwise, it's no good. There's a key in here, but I don't know anything about it. Oh, boy. And there's a lot of people don't know anything about salvation. Holy Spirit, and there goes my mic again, cutting in and out, which is all right. Is it back? Okay. Anyway, that's what I want for Christmas, girl. No, not the little key. A new mic here. But anyway, the whole point is that God gives us the key because Jesus is the bridge and Jesus is the key, and He sets us free. When we're enslaved to all this stuff in the world, and enslaved, even some people are enslaved to religion. It's all about rules and regulations and traditions. Is there any life in that? Is there any joy in that? Mm-mm. Well, we'll talk about the good stuff here in a little bit. But as I get a smile from you. Oh, cute. You like being here? Yes. What a cute smile. Oh, my goodness. She wants to be here. Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. That made my day. All right. So, we're under the elementary forces of this world, enslaved by sin and death and the devil. Religion, tradition, and all that. And here's the good news. Verse 4. Excuse me. Don't go out of me now. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that are under the law. And Pastor Rick talked about his text being a Christmas text. Well, I think my text is a Christmas text. And Cindy thought the same thing, so she brought this picture here. We're not singing Christmas carols. Although if we did today, I would sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Because it talks about veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Incarnate means God in the flesh, which is what we're talking about right here. Now, I don't think it looked like that on the first Christmas, all nice and pristine and like that, but this is what it's all about. God sent His Son as we get ready for Christmas. Can you believe that coming up? Oh, yeah, yeah. But as we prepare for Jesus coming into the world, for Jesus coming into our lives, and being the Savior that He is, the good news is that Paul said when the time finally came, God sent His Son. They had to wait a long, long, long time. I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. I'm not patient. Oh, you love waiting? Sure, yeah. We count the days, whether it be when a baby's born or a job promotion or vacation. They count the days. Oh, but then as it gets closer, it gets kind of scary. Oh, I got to do this, got to do that. Oh, blah, blah, I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. But when the time finally comes, yay, it's finally here, vacation, or the baby, or whatever. What a great time it is of great joy. And here, Paul just, he says all this other stuff about slavery and all that, and now the good news comes pouring out of his heart, out of off his pen, onto paper, and into our hearts through the Word of God, that the time had finally come. Historians have talked about when Christ came on the scene, it was a perfect time for the gospel to be proclaimed and shared in that time of history. It was called the Pax Romana, the time of peace under the Roman Empire. For the first time there, everything wasn't peaceful, and that people also had a highway system, the Roman government, so that you could travel easier, so that the Christian good news of Christianity could be spread and shared more easily. And everything was set up, all the prophets, as I said, everything came together, and the time was just right for Jesus to be born. In fact, that's when we have our calendars, B.C. and A.D., Anno Domini, in the name of our Lord. And it's all based, our calendars are based on when Jesus came to earth. And so that is the good news, that the time had finally come that God sent His Son, born of a woman, the Virgin Mary, right? So He was born as a human, born under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. What is the word redeem? If years ago, really dating myself, years ago, they had what was called green stamps. Does anybody remember green stamps? You do. Oh, good. You do. Okay. So what was the deal? You get these green stamps and you put them in a book. And then what would you do with those books? You take them to the redemption center a lot of times. S&H green stamps. You go to the redemption center and they would buy those stamps back. And I remember, I think my folks got a blender or a toaster or something like that. I wasn't real excited about it, but they were. And so they had all these packets of these books and all these stamps. And I remember watching them licking them. I go, what is this all about? But it was going to the redemption center because that was fun. It was like, it didn't cost you anything, just those stamps. Well, what is the redemption center? It's the church. Because Jesus is the Redeemer who buys us back from the devil. And the devil says, these are my kids. And Jesus comes and says, uh-uh. In the name of the Father, they're God's kids. They're my kids. He pulls us out of the darkness, and He brings us into the family of Christians. Isn't it great when you're part of the family, and you're not alone anymore, and you're part of God's wonderful family? And that's the good news of the gospel. Christmas or Christianity, it's not about rules and regulations. It's about what Jesus did for us. And He gives us the joy and the peace and the love that only He can give. And that's the good news, right? If people say, was there any good news in the news today? There is. In Jesus. Well, not the news. Yeah, we won't go there. But this is the good news. Yeah, right. No kidding. But the time came. God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. By nature, we are children of wrath. God created all of us. And people say, well, we're all God's creation. We're all God's creatures. And that's true to a certain extent. But because of sin, we're separated from the Father, and we're no longer in a relationship by nature. Like the Jews said, well, I'm a Jew, therefore I'm a believer. And God says, no, it has to be in your heart. So we all, every one of us has to be adopted into the family. We can't just say, well, I'm here, I'm a child of God, I'm automatically going to heaven. It's not like auto pay. By the way, companies keep saying, oh, would you like to just put auto pay, auto pay, auto pay? No, you say. And the same way is that we're not automatically part of God's kingdom. It's not an automatic thing. And how do we sign up? Well, we don't sign up. God draws us through His Spirit. He invites us to be part of God's family, right? And we have a relationship with Him forever. And it starts now and it goes on forever. Isn't that great? So that's, again, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So He gives us the adoption to sonship. So we are all adopted. And I remember when my stepmom adopted me after my natural mom died, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but she would say, I actually have more rights to you than a natural mother. And I kind of resented that at the time, but I now know what she means, that there are more rules and rights and privileges. And Pastor Rick has said that too in history. With the Roman government, when a person was adopted, there were rights that could not be revoked for an adopted child. In the same way, we are adopted into God's family. I am a child. We sing, I am a friend of God. We're a friend of God. I'm a child of God. The problem is a lot of people forget who they are in Christ. And I remember when I first started coming here, Pastor Rick would say a lot, be who you are in Christ. You can be who you are. Not somebody else, but be who you are, but in Christ. Let Him change you and let Him use you and mold you to the type of person He wants you to be in Jesus, right? So we are all adopted into the family. Now, the problem is that we forget that, not just up here, but down here, and we start living like a slave again. We go back away from our relationship with the Father like the prodigal son. We turn our backs on God, on Jesus. Say, I can go my own way. I can be like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. It's all about me. That's what the world says, right? That's not what God says. So we turn away from God, and we go away from Him, and we forget that. We act like when we're part of this world, and we go right back into the mud again, all of us, many times. And so we need the loving embrace of the Father, His amazing grace that reaches out to us, pulls us back into the warm embrace of the Father through Jesus, right? And so now we're back in that relationship. It's awesome. It's so cool. And we have an awesome God that brings us back into that relationship. But there's a couple pastors. One's name is Jack Frost, which is kind of funny. He's actually a warm guy. But Jack Frost has these conferences where he talks about experiencing the Father's love and the Father's embrace. And he has a whole thing, especially for guys, of remembering who they are in God and in Christ. And he has them recite a bunch of things of who they are, because what happens is the guys get tough. They kind of protect their hearts and get hard-hearted and be macho. And they have a lot of issues about with their earthly father or their earthly mother. And they don't live as a child of God. They forget who they are in Christ. And because of the emptiness in their soul, they act like a slave to sin again. And so the pastor, first of all, gets them to receive the love of the Father and feel the Father's embrace and the Father's love in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And then he gets them to talk to themselves and remind themselves over and over throughout the day when they're tempted, who am I? Remember who I am. And Paul talks about that, remembering who we are, reminding ourselves that I'm a child of God. And then the law doesn't have the power, but we remind ourselves in the middle of temptation or crisis, I'm God's child. He loves me. There's power in that. Not like, well, I better not do this or else God whack me one. It's more that relationship. And so Paul talks about the fact that we're in this adoption to sonship. And he says, because you are sons or daughters, God sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. Notice the Trinity's there. They got the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because it's God, in the Father, sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. So the whole Trinity is involved there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, and the Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. This is in the Greek and the Aramaic, and I've had different clients from the Middle East who speak Aramaic, and it's fascinating, this word, Abba, Father. When you have a little baby that's trying to learn to talk for the first time, and a lot of times you'll hear this, Abba, 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 right? Well, that became the word for daddy in Aramaic, Abba, Abba. They took it from the sound of a child, of a baby, yeah, and they... And that became the word for a daddy. And it was many times the father would probably say, oh, he's calling me. Abba, 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 Abba. And like, yeah, that's my son. He's saying dad first. He's not saying mom first. He's saying daddy first. But it became a very warm term of endearment. Abba, daddy, papa. Religion doesn't give you that kind of relationship with Jesus and the God where you're crying out of love and out of joy and having that warmth in that relationship. That only comes through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus, not rules and regulations. And that is what Paul is trying to get in this whole book of Galatians. Don't go back to being a slave to the law. Don't go back to being a slave to temptation and sin. Be a son. Be who you are, a son, a child, a princess, a prince of the king. You are a part of the king's family. And so we remind ourselves who we are in Jesus. And this one, Jack Frost, talks about experiencing the Father's love. And he says, remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself that my Father loves me with an everlasting love. I have never not been loved by Him. My Father loves me so much that He gave His only Son to die for me so I might know His love. My Father loves me so much that He wants to express His love and affection to me. Nothing can separate me, even my faults, from God's love for me. My Father's love. My Father loves me just as much as He loved His Son Jesus. Even when I've sinned, the Father still loves me and asks me to sit beside me. My Father wants me to overflow with His love. Even when I'm wounded, my Father sees me as beautiful and takes pleasure in me. A lot of people don't believe that about themselves. My Father's thoughts toward me are always good and filled with hope for me. I'm beautiful, handsome, and pleasant in His eyes. My love for Him fills Him with ecstasy and joy. My Father is so pleased with my being His child that He will never leave me, and He wants me to meet all my needs. My Father likes being with me so much that He made His home with me. I am to shine the light of my Father's love throughout the earth. I am a witness to God's love in this world. I am a minister of God's restoring love. I am an ambassador of God's love to the world in Jesus. I can do all things in God's love. Jesus is not ashamed of me. God is not ashamed to be my Father. Father has given me and forgiven my iniquities and remembers my sin no more. God has put all my sins under His feet and cast them into the depths of the sea. God has redeemed me and forgiven all my sins. He cleanses me. I'm called a child of the Father. I am called a friend of God. He's got more and more and more of Him. In God's love, I'm complete. I'm filled with God's peace, His power, His love, and a sound mind. In God's love, I'm hidden from sin. Troubles do not separate me from God's love. The evil one has no right anymore to touch me while I'm in my Father's arms. And on it goes. And he has the people go to his conference, go into small groups and tell each other that truth, and then look at the hearts and the relationship with their mothers or fathers or other loved ones and relatives to see if the taintedness of a unhealthy relationship has impacted their love, receiving or also receiving others' love. If we've not been loved ourselves in a nurturing, positive way, it's hard for us to love others. I see it in a lot of my parents. They don't know how to nurture their kids because they were never nurtured, never loved. Some learn, but some don't. But when we receive the love of the Father, it changes everything about who we are, right? And that, again, is the whole message of Galatians, is that we were this, but in Jesus now we're that, and we're all set free. So we're no longer slaves, but now we're children and we're heirs. Let's see, is there one after this? I forgot where we're at. And then because of that, Christ lives in me. So if you've got Jesus living on you on the inside, what kind of difference is that going to make in our lives, right? A lot, thank you. Religion won't make that much of a difference, but a relationship with Jesus will. Let's see if there's the next one. I can't remember. All right. It says we believe. We put that all the time. Do we believe all this? And if we do, it will translate in a relationship with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we'll have that close relationship where we can say, Abba, Papa, Father, Daddy, and not be embarrassed by that. Where there's an intimacy with God. That a lot of us guys are uncomfortable about that. You know, singing to words on a PowerPoint, I love you, Lord. It's sometimes hard for guys to express to have their hearts opened up to all the love the Father wants to pour out to them. And when He does, it can be overwhelming. One guy, a friend of mine, was driving a truck on Power Road, and God said, you might want to pull over off the side of the road, because I'm going to show you, I'm going to help you feel how much I love you. He pulled over and started bawling, and he says, God, I can't take this. It feels so good. It's too much. It's more than I can take. Your love is overwhelming. And he started bawling. His truck driver was standing like this in his cab, bawling and weeping, because God was just pouring out His love a full measure at once. God loves us all that same way. Don't listen to the lie of the devil that says God doesn't love you anymore. It's a lie. He loves us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to all that, all we can say is, Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.